Everyone, this is Pastor Buddy. Welcome to the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you aboard tonight. Praise Yahweh. This is live radio, and we are on Monday, the 4th of March. Moving right along, praise Yahweh, as we start into the second year of our ministry here on Truth Radio tonight. Praise Yahweh. Glad to have you aboard. Call a friend and tell them that the Shepherd's Call is on that. We've got a great one lined up for you. We're continuing on our subject. The subject tonight is a baptism in the great, magnificent, magnanimous name of Yahweh. Ladies and gentlemen, we declare unto you tonight by the authority of the word of Yahweh that there is none other name given under heaven whereby that you can be saved. So we're going to continue. We closed out Friday night's message on water baptism, and we're going to pick up right where we were at Friday night. Praise Yahweh. So, we're glad to have you aboard tonight. Praise Yahweh. Now, let's get right into the message here tonight. Praise Yah. And we are delighted, as I have said, to have you with us tonight as we go into 1 Peter. If you have your Bibles, you're going to study with us tonight. We're going into 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going into the 18th verse as we're going to read and study and prove that water baptism is essential. Now, when we say essential, we mean that according to the scriptures of John chapter 3, verse 5, it said, unless, except you are born of water and spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, we find it interesting here tonight, praise Yahweh, for those who say that water baptism has nothing to do with your salvation. Well, then the name has nothing to do with your salvation if that's true. Remember, we quoted the scriptures in Acts 4, 11, and 12, where it says in Acts 4, 11, and 12, and we verified the fact that we believe that water baptism is essential in the divine name. Now, are we going to use the Bible, the word that was written, these things were written that you might believe? And the Bible says itself that if all the things were written that should have been written, even the world itself couldn't contain the information that could be downloaded into your very being from the Heavenly Father. But these things were written that you might know and that you might believe and that you might understand and that you might repent and be saved with a holy calling. Ladies and gentlemen, the name is essential. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we teach that water baptism is essential in the divine name of Yahweh. Now, here we go as we are in 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to prove, we believe, that water is essential. For Christ has also suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. I want you to keep in mind the context here. Within the context, we're talking about Spirit. By which? By what? By the Spirit. He went and preached into the spirits in prison. So by the Spirit, he went and preached to the spirits, meaning more than one. Now, why would he want to do that? The Bible says that he might become both the God of the living and the dead. Those who were in their trespasses, if you will, were kept since the days of Noah, as we're going to find out here. These disobedient ones were kept in prison. They were not allowed to enter into heaven. They were not allowed actually to go to judgment, final judgment. They were kept in what we describe as a holding place, a place for the departed souls upon the earth that went back into the lower parts of the earth, and there they were kept in what is described by Peter as a prison. So let's find out here. Verse 20, by which sometimes which were disobedient, remember, he said he went and preached to the spirits that were in prison, verse 19, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, that is, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Now, I want you to mark that in your Bible if you're studying with us and think about it for just a while. Our subject tonight is water baptism. Is it essential? Do we need, really, to be water baptized for the remission of sins? If that's what it's for, then we believe that it would be essential. We come down on the verdict side of reality here, where the Scripture says, and it says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Now, we're going to give you more than that, but the Bible says at least two to three witnesses for the subject, and then you can prove it as a doctrine. We're going right into the text here. We're going to give you some explanation before we leave here of what this really means. Verse 21, remember the last part of verse 20 was, few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, now what is he talking about? Talking about now water baptism, wherein baptism doth now also save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but of an answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of our Messiah, Yahweh-Shua. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is very important for us to understand this. It may be actually the difference between life and death. Remember, the Bible said we are destroyed in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, for the lack of knowledge. Now, knowledge, how does knowledge come? Well, I know for myself that knowledge is a gift. We look at the five signs that follow the believer, and then we look at the nine spiritual gifts. Then we look at the five operations, if you will, or the offices that operate the nine gifts. And in that, we find that the gift of knowledge is given to teachers. Well, if teachers are to be gifted to teach you knowledge, then how does faith come? Well, it's evident that the Scriptures, again, enter here with this verdict. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word. How can you hear without a preacher, and how can he preach except that he be sent, called, or qualified, if you will, or gifted to bring you knowledge? Now, the old eunuch, as we go back into the text here, as we're going very soon to view a man that asked the question, what must I do to be saved? These are questions that we believe are still relevant for this age, although it seems like it's outdated and old-fashioned to believe in repentance and baptism for the remission of sins to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But the word is there. It is correct. Now, no man can enter without the water and the Spirit. That is John chapter 3, verse 5. We covered that Friday. And we seal that, and so then people will make excuses or try to interpret all that means the womb of the flesh, where you were encased in water, and you were born into this world, and but you don't have to be baptized to get back into the kingdom. Well, the Scriptures teach, we believe, the truth, and we're going to teach the truth. And here is the truth. Which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Eight souls saved by water. Now, the very thing that destroyed those that did not believe, those that had no grace, those who were not found righteous or worthy, the same thing that saved Noah destroyed them. Now, let me give you something frightening to think about. In the last days, the same thing, fire, the baptism of fire, if you will, the Holy Spirit, will actually save those that have the infilling. Now remember, you must be washed. The Bible says he will not dwell in an unclean temple. And even that which you seem to have, you could have the indwelling of the Spirit. It's been given to many. But because of failure to obey the rest of the instructions, that even which they seem to have is pulled away from them. They begin to diminish in power and spirit and thought process. Therefore, Yahweh turns them over to a reprobated man to believe a lie and be damned. Why? Because if they fail to continue on in his word, then they cannot, will not, and shall not be his disciples. Now, the Bible says, as you see the light, to walk in. Now, if you want rest for your soul, you must continue in his word. If you continue in his word, then you are his disciples, and his disciples will be shown more truth. To him that heareth, more will be given. Now, if you reject water baptism for the remission of sins, then you have stunted, stopped, or stalled, if you will, hindered your growth process in the development of your soul as it evolves back toward the Father and back toward the throne. You must do that which is pleasing, or the Bible says in this way, why call me Yahweh and do not the things that I say to do? Many will say to him in that day, Lord, L-O-R-D, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? Well, they go through the Father, Son, Holy Ghost experience of water baptism in Matthew 28:19. I explained to you what 28:19 Matthew was all about when it says to repent and be baptized in the name of the Father. Stop right there. Think about the Father's name. Remember the preacher that has baptized countless of people in this formula and deceived many. How? Because they say, we're talking about these preachers, and remember, the Bible said that the way of truth would be spoken evil of by so-called. These are they that lead you almost to the door. They won't take you through the door, but they get in the door themselves and hinder those that would go in. So then I'm talking about the preachers, the leaders, the teachers, that take you into water baptismal formula mode of Matthew 28:19 and just read the mode of operation here, which it needs some interpretation, when it says repent or teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. If you have any spiritual wisdom at all, stop. I know I didn't have anyone. I was a 9-year-old young lad baptized in a Baptist church with this formula of Matthew 28:19. I believed that the preacher knew what he was doing. He seemed holy. He had on a white shirt. And if we judge preachers to wear a white shirt back in the Baptist church, you know, preachers were probably, unless they were in business, and we didn't meet many businessmen in the community I lived in, it was the preachers that wore their Sunday to go to meeting white shirts and ties. And so this preacher had on a white shirt, baptized me, saying, I now baptize this my brother in the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Ghost. And he never said the name of the Father or the name of the Son. Now, at that time, I didn't understand, but it wasn't long until I began to pursue. I was 9 years old, and when I was 18 years old, I was introduced to water baptism in the name of Jesus. My, I read Acts chapter 2:38, or had that chapter read to me. We're going right now to that particular chapter. Remember, we read it briefly for you the other night. We will go into some comprehensive teaching of this particular chapter and passage here in Acts chapter 2. Now remember, we're dealing with water baptism, and at a later date, we will deal with the fire baptism of the Holy Spirit. They go hand in hand. Praise Yahweh. Now, We're going to start at verse 37 of Acts chapter 2. And when they heard this, who? The men that were gathered in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover, they were gathered, and suddenly, the Bible said, there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through verse 4. Now then, when they preached this, and it was scattered abroad, noised abroad, if you will, then the multitudes came, and they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now listen to this. And then Peter, being the chief spokesman, chosen according to the scriptures of Mark 16, he was given to him the key to the kingdom. The keys were used here, keys meaning water baptism for the remission of sins, and then the baptism of the Holy Ghost to save you. These are the keys to the kingdom. Then Peter said unto them, listen to the formula that Peter gave. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this again, you must use a proper interpretation. If not, you may get on a 30-year sidetrack as I did. 30 years, I wondered, and I got sidetracked here by just doing what it says to do here. He said, well, Pastor Buddy, are we not supposed to do what it says? We are supposed to rightly divide the word. I didn't have the knowledge at that time to rightly divide the scriptures here and get the understanding. I didn't know that someone had slipped in unaware and changed the name of the Creator, Yahweh, to Jesus in the Greek language. I didn't know that. And here I am preaching for 30 years, baptizing in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins. I followed this formula here. Just like millions followed the formula of Matthew 28:19, I graduated from 28:19 Matthew over to Acts chapter 2:38 and was still deceived. Now, that's very hard to understand because I was giving it all I had. I was trying earnestly with everything that I knew to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, remember where it says for us to do our first works over? Well, then, here's the old saying, if you don't get it right, do it again. And if all else fails, read the instructions. Now, I was reading the instruction here, and I was obeying the letter rather than the spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, if the letter is changed, and we're talking about this great, magnificent love letter that the Father sent to us, but he warned us in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelations that things could be added to it or things could be taken from. And without giving that a thought, I perceived here that this was correct teaching, and I understood the formula. My, I really solved the riddle here. I found out just exactly who the Father was. When it says in Matthew 28:19 to be baptized in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son, it don't say names, it says name singular. So then I was baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, to receive the Holy Spirit. 30 years later, I found out that the name of Jesus wasn't even 500 years old at the most. Now, that put me back to, as the old saying goes, back to the drawing board. And so I began to draw water of truth again out of the scriptures with the extended information and knowledge that I had been given at that time. Now, I began to see a little bit more light on the divine name. I began to see that they had changed the divine name of our Heavenly Father 5,823 times alone in the Old Testament. His name was YHVH or YHWH, depending on how you sound the vowels. So then, the Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh was changed to Jesus in the New Testament. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have told you last Friday night that that is a great stretch, and it just doesn't fit the translation of the name. Remember, I told you that names are to be transliterated, not translated. Here they have actually translated the name of the Heavenly Father, YHWH, YHWH. They have translated that out of the Holy Text, and then they have translated into the text Jesus. Now that's a substitute, if you will, a blasphemian substitute for the divine name. Now you say, oh, Pastor Buddy, was that a blasphemian name that they inserted? Well, let me give you the scriptures here, and we're coming back to Acts chapter 2, 38, but I want to read again Acts 4, 11, and 12. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner, and neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven given among men, whereby that we must be saved. Now, what does that mean? Now, remember in Matthew chapter 21, verse 42, when he says, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the head of the corner? Well, the name was the rejected stone. The stone was the true name of the Father. He's telling them here that his name would be rejected in the New Testament age, and that the wise Greeks, if you will, and the collaborating rabbis, if you will, they believed that the name of the Father was too sacred to speak or utter, and the Greeks didn't want Yahweh in, of course. They wanted their god Zeus. And so these wise men, remember the Bible said that the Jews, the Hebrews, if you will, stumble at the stumbling stone. That's the rock of offense. That name was left out purposely by them. We were taught even in the old text in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 25 and 26, that we would forget his name for Lord or Baal. If you look up and research the word Lord, L-O-R-D, you find that it references you to the Baal. So then we've been given a substitute in the Old Testament, L-O-R-D, Baal, and in the New Testament we have been given Jesus, a substitute for the name Yahweh. And there the Bible said the stone rejected. So the name that was true got rejected out of the Bible, and the name that was false got accepted into the Bible. Now, does that make any sense to you? And you say, well, Pastor Buddy, if you're right, then that means that everybody out here that's calling on the name of Jesus is wrong, and you know that just can't be. Well, let me give you this to think about. The Bible says that in the 13th chapter, we're going to the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. Remember, we're coming back to chapter 2 because the Spirit is just leading me to go there real quickly. I'll go there and then I'll come back. If you're following me in the Bible, I'll be back after the break. We're down at the bottom of there. I'm going to the 13th chapter of the book of Revelations. I'll show you that there is a name of blasphemy that will deceive even the very elect. Come back after 2. This is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. I'll be back. And you bring a friend with you. Praise God. I'm expressly to bring division. We come to separate you from your carnal mind. We didn't come to offend you. I said, blessed is he that offendeth not in word and deed. But if this word offends you, then you're not Yahweh's sheep anyway. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. His voice is his living word. Now, the written word has to be accounted for those accountable for dealing with the written word. Remember, you are responsible for what you know. The Bible says you will be judged of the contents of those things written in the word. Now, the word must be rightly divided. If Jesus is the saving name, as most people in the Christian church says that it is, why does it not have any connection back to the name Yahweh? Well, you say, well, it does have. Well, then, pray tell me how that you can get, we got scriptures to relate to here, 5,823 times alone, his name YHWH or YHWH. Now, how do you get Jesus in the Greek, Jesus in Spanish, remember, Jesus. That's how the Spanish, the Romans, the Greeks, if you will, how they taught the masses to call upon the God, because when they went forth conquering under the Roman legion banner, the masses that were conquered and ruled over asked, what God, or what is the name of your God? What do we call him when we call him? And they said, just say, Jesus. So then, Jesus became world famous around the world as Christians, quote-unquote, began to pick up the message of Jesus, Jesus in Greek, and Jesus, and finally, in the evolved name of Jesus. Now, Jesus nowhere does it revolve back to Yahweh. Just no connection at all. Although, vain men of the Greek and the Hebrew language tries to tie together so that they can support the lie of Jesus. Now, remember, I'm going to teach you that there is a name of blasphemy, and all the world will wonder after this name of blasphemy. Could it be Christianity? Could it be that Christianity has walked into and onto a name? A name of blasphemy. Think about it for just a moment. Let that sink in. Now, we have many that call on the name Jesus. They call earnestly. But we have many that call on the name of Baal, and they called out in earnest for Baal to save them. There's no difference in Baal, L-O-R-D, in Jesus today. It's the same name of blasphemy. It has no saving power. You say, well, I feel like I'm saved. Well, you can believe a lie and be damned. You say, I look like I'm saved. I'm going to a large congregation, and I'm with a lot of friends, and we have a great time in praising the Lord. Many will stand before him, as I've already quoted, saying, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? And then he, the true creator, Messiah, will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Revelation 13:1, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Now remember, sea is people. Sea represents the people, and I saw a beast, if you will, a glorious church. Now this church is referred to in the 17th chapter of the book of Revelations as the great whore that will corrupt the whole earth. When John saw her, he marveled at her beauty. He was taken in by the many wonderful things that she was capable of doing. The Christian church today has a broad appeal all over the earth. Glorious temples, if you will. Stained glass windows. Large choirs. Great ministers. But let's talk about these ministers. The Bible says that they will be given a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned, who have not the truth of Yahweh in righteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, you know why that all the prophets of old were hated? Because they came to the people in the name of Yahweh. When Elijah came in the name of Yahweh, all of Israel, with the exception of 7,000, had gone over to Baal. We're talking about literally millions who had transferred their allegiance from Yahweh over to a false god, the agricultural god of the heathen nation Canaanites around them. This agricultural god was named Baal, B-A-A-L. And so all of Israel was worshiping in vain. Now, what does the scripture say for us today? Take heed and search the scriptures, for wherein you think you have eternal life, you have none. For these scriptures are the ones that testify of me. Now, let me give you a challenge here. Not one scripture in the Old Testament refers to Jesus. There is not one prophetic utterance scripture that will tell you that there is going to be a God incarnated upon the earth in the name of Jesus. But ladies and gentlemen, I'll give you scripture after scripture, verse after verse, that tells you that Yahweh himself will come to his sheep. And when I say that, I think about Isaiah 9:6. I think about Isaiah 43, verses 10-11. I think about Isaiah 44 and 6 and Revelations 1 and 17. I think about all of the scriptures and the prophetic utterance where, especially in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34 through chapter 36. In chapter 34, he said, therefore, behold, I, talking about the shepherd, the good shepherd, I, Yahweh, will come and search out my sheep, and my sheep will hear me. In the 10th chapter of the book of John, the good shepherd said, I am the good shepherd. This was Yahweh Shua, or Yahweh Savior. You say, Pastor Buddy, he couldn't have been called Yahweh. Well, John 5:43 says, I am come in my Father's name. Now, if the Father's name was Yahweh, what would the Son's name be? Duh. Give you one guess. I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, and upon his head he had the name of blasphemy. Now, this great, glorious church rose up out of the people in the Roman Dark Ages and began to move about in the earth as a beautiful lady. Now, we know that in the 15th century, the Protestants or the protesters broke out of this church because it's the Church of Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, history will tell you that the Holy Roman Catholic Church is that woman of Revelation 17. And out of her came the harlots. Now, what's a harlot? That is a daughter of the whore. Now, if the whore promoted and brought forth, if you will, hatched out the name Jesus, they gave you that name, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible didn't give you the name of Jesus to believe in. The Bible gave you the name of Yahweh and Yahweh only to believe in, and yet we have come up with a fictitious hybrid names of blasphemy. This name that came into the Bible spelled Iesus. Now, Ea was an Egyptian deity or a Chaldean deity that was called upon in antiquity, even back in the days of Babylon. They called on the god Ea. Well, when the Greeks came on the scene through the conquering of Alexander the Great, remember, that was the third kingdom that would rise up in the Alexandrian kingdom, the Grecian kingdom, if you will, and then the Romans would take over after that. That's the four kingdoms that would be diverse upon the earth, and they are still here, and then that fourth kingdom would have a wound to its head and yet live. And all the world would wonder after the beast that was and is not and yet is. This is in the book of Revelations, and we're concerning ourselves with the harlot and the harlots, the whore and the whore's daughters. Out of her came forth the Protestant Reformation. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, are you discrediting all of that movement? No. There was truth. There was evolution. They were progressing. They were doing all they knew to do. They came out with the name that the whore promoted. The Catholic Church gave us the name Jesus to worship. Ladies and gentlemen, then the harlots, those that broke away from the Catholic Church, came out with her name. If the Catholic Church is false, and we believe she is, and we believe her doctrine is false, and we believe her preachers and teachers today are still false, and we believe that they all know it, and we believe that that is the great whore of Revelation 17. If you have differences, then you call Pastor Buddy tonight, and we'll talk about it. You say, would you compromise? No. The truth is not to be compromised upon. The Bible said, preach the truth. Reprove and rebuke and suffer. I'll suffer the truth with you, but I won't compromise the truth with you. I'll love you in the ignorance that you have until you reject the truth that is put forth. After the first or second admonishing with the truth, then I'm to reject you. Seeing that you resist the truth, and the Bible says, the truth shall make you free. How do you escape the clutches of the whore and the harlots? You come out of her, my people, the Bible says, and touch not the unclean thing. What is the unclean thing? It is a name of blasphemy that she's brought upon the earth to corrupt or to deceive the very elect, if possible. And ladies and gentlemen, I was 30 years in deception, 30 years preaching the message of deception. Now, look at us as we go down to verse 6. We're talking about a false name here tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and the only name to believe in and water baptism to seal you against this and to inoculate you, if you will, against the poison of the harlot church. Verse 6, Revelation 13, and he, the beast power, the whore, the harlot, opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name. Now here, this devil comes, this whore, she's beautiful. John saw her and he admired her. He fell at her feet. He worshipped her. And she had the cup of filth. It was a golden cup. Everything looked beautiful. But in her cup was false doctrine and the blood of the martyrs of the saints that believed and worshipped in the true name. Ladies and gentlemen, the Roman Catholic Church had really, literally killed, under the guise of Christ, millions and upon millions of true worship believers in the great, magnificent name of Yahweh. We're coming right back to the last days, ladies and gentlemen, and there will be one more slaughter upon the earth of the true name believers. And after that, at the end shall come, and the whore and all those that she has deceived will be judged with the fire of the coming of the awesome judgment of the Almighty Yahweh, coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not the true name of the Creator. What's that name? Turn to 14:1. While you're there in the book of Revelations, I'll read it to you. And I looked, and lo, a lamb. This is Christ the Lamb. Stood upon Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And gentlemen, it is important for you to have the name of Yahweh written in your forehead. If when he comes back, you say, Pastor Buddy, you must be awful brave to preach this on national worldwide radio. Bravery has nothing to do with this. It's a love. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't preach this. If I didn't love you and want you saved to come out of her, the great corrupting whore of Christianity, a name given of blasphemy, and many wondered, the Bible said, whosoever was not found written in the book took the name of blasphemy. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a name that will be given to you, and you will kill people thinking that you're doing God a service. That's how deceived that people can be when they are in a false name. In vain they worship me. In vain they worship me, cried the Messiah. For they keep their own tradition and break my commandments. Now, what is the commandment? Let's read. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 again, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, first step, and be baptized, second step, and the third step is for the remission of sins. Repent and be baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, notice here in verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that is afar off, even as many as Yahweh. Right here should be Yahweh. You say, oh, buddy, that's Greek. That should be kuros. If you read the Greek scriptures, it says kuros. Now, what is the word kuros? It is a substitute word for the divine name. Again, we are taking away the divine name and putting in substitute, a title, if you will, to address the deity here. Remember, kuros is a substitute word for Yahweh. Yahweh is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was Yahweh 5,823 times, approximately, in the Old Testament, and he's Yahweh 1,000 times in the New Testament. So Yahweh in the beginning was Yahweh. His memorial name of Exodus, if you will, 3:14-15, shall be his name forever. This is a name that was set in all of the builders, but neither is there salvation in any other. I'm giving you the true salvational name. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, I'll just stick with Jesus. Glory to God, honey. I know what I've got. Hallelujah. Why are you saying hallelujah? Why don't you use hallelujah? If that's his name, if you're sticking with Jesus, Jesus, and if I speak it in Greek, let me speak it in Greek. it is very insulting. If I use the Greek term, it is just as insulting to use the, if you will, the Spanish term, if you will. Let me use that. Jesus. Just call him Jesus. That's what you're doing when you use Jesus. You're calling him Jesus. Is that the name of the Creator? Is that the name that you're calling on? Are you actually worshiping in a false name? Are you sure that you are correct when you use the name Jesus? Are you going to stand before him in that day and hear him say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you"? Are you going to be caught up in tradition of the world? And do you want to go down to the largest church in the community to be a member of the largest congregation, which many people just go to be a part of something big? Not because it's true, not because it's righteous, but because it seems right. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, there is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is death, and from such turn away. This is my message tonight on the true name and water baptism. Here it says, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation." How can you save yourself? By repentance and baptism in the name of Yahweh. That's the only way, or the only name given. And the Bible says, "Why call me Yahweh, and do not the things that I say to do? He that saith he loves Yahweh, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth ain't in him." You say, "How can I, brother, buddy, tell me how to get baptized?" If you are really sincere, if you want to know the way, then let me give you my mailing address, how that you can contact Pastor Buddy. Simply write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. Now, if you'd like to telephone me tonight immediately after the broadcast, I will be here live for 1 hour to take your calls. Simply dial area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. If you're in agreement, praise Yahweh. If you're in disagreement, praise Yahweh. Whether you accept him or whether you reject him, he cannot deny himself. We're going to get into the Godhead and show you exactly who this wonderful Creator is that we call Yahweh. How he was alone and by himself, how there's never been any God beside him, and how that he will rule in the coming kingdom, and how that you must be born of his Spirit in water baptism for the remission of sins to dwell in his kingdom. It's a wonderful plan, a wonderful promise with an eternal Creator that never lies. We'll see you then tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Truth Radio. Call a friend tonight and tell them that the Shepherd's Call will be on tomorrow night, and invite them to listen to these worthy causes that we're given for eternal salvation in the great name of the King of Kings, Yahweh. Until tomorrow night, this is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call saying Yahweh bless you, Jacob Israel.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the channel station. Praise Yahweh.